While she was singing that, it reminded me of a little boy one night who was scared. We're looking at courage to conquer fears and situations in our life. I'm reminded of a little boy. He was fearful of the dark, and his mom came in to pray with him, and so they sang together, "Jesus Loves Me," and it was really precious, and it was really sweet. And then they had their prayer, and the little boy looked up and says, "Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight?" She said, "Well, honey, I can't. I have to sleep with your daddy." There was a long pause, and then he said, "The big sissy." I'm reminded on courage and fear and how do we conquer some of these things. There was a group on a ocean voyage, and while they were out on the deck, all of a sudden a lady went overboard, and as she was floundering around in the water and screaming and hollering, and all of a sudden next falls a man next to her, and he's trying to save her until they can throw some life equipment over to save both of them. And luckily, fortunately, both of them were saved. And so they had a big banquet on the ship in honor of the man who had gone to the rescue of the lady who had fallen. And while they were at the banquet and they were honoring him, they were standing up giving their accolades of praise about all of his incredible courage to conquer that particular situation after they had made all the great accolades of praise about him. And he stood to make a response, and he said, "All I want to know is, who pushed me?" Well, tonight, courage when faith deserts you. Courage when faith deserts you. As Tricia was singing that song a few moments ago, "Jesus Loves Me." Have you ever awakened in the middle of the night and all of a sudden there was just this empty feeling, or this eerie feeling, or this whatever feeling it was, and you just began to sing, "Jesus, love me, loves me, this I know." Let me tell you tonight what we're going to look about in this lesson. We're going to learn that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Whatever events there may be in life, sometimes it seems that God is not there. Any of you ever experienced those moments in your life where you wondered, "God, where are you?" And yet we know God is too good to be unkind. We knew God's too wise to be mistaken. We all know God is far too deep to be explained. He's the infinite God. We are the finite minds. And even when we cannot trace his hands, we have to reach out by faith and trust his heart to know that God is always there. For he said, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, but I'm a present help in time of trouble." Tonight, what I want to look at is courage when faith deserts you. Courage when faith deserts you. On your outline for this evening, I want us to look at first of all, take courage from the strength of God's love. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Rome. Paul realized, if anybody ever realized, Paul knew what it was like to face danger. Paul knew what it was like to have fears. Paul knew what it was like to try to conquer with courage the things that he needed to conquer in his life. And Paul was writing to the Roman church, and on your scripture, which I blew up for you for your eyes, because I know that you needed that, not that I do, but if you'll notice in verse 35 and 36, this is from the New International Version translation. Paul wrote, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, he has spoken in the book of Romans, in these previous chapters, he's spoken about our sanctification, which is our setting apart, our being saved, our personal relationship with Christ. And he's spoken about all of those things. And he's spoken about the persecutions. And now we see that he speaks about separation. Separation. There are a lot of things that separate people tonight from many, many things. In our staff meeting this morning with our staff, after we had our devotional, we talked about what are some of the major things in the area of our preschool, in the area of our children, in the area of our youth, especially in those areas. What do you see that are some of the major conflicts that are happening in people's lives? And we spoke about trying to balance life with the single parent who doesn't make enough money to be able to feed his or her family, that does not have the resources when other kids in school have many resources and very little resources, trying to balance life with all of the school activities. Many of the young people today are privileged not only to go to high school and to take high school courses, but they can also enroll in college and get many of their hours in before they ever begin. And so when you consider all of those things, social media, all of the things that are going on in the lives of family, you and I then wonder, where are young couples, where are they, and why is it so hard to reach them? Many times it's because they take their Sunday if they have much time for their families, or else they are worn to a frazzle throughout the week because of all of the going here and going there and trying to get Mary over here to acting lessons and drama lessons and music lessons and soccer games and basketball games and football games and all of the many things that vie for people's attention today. The world has changed. It is changing rapidly. It's changing quickly. For many of you that grew up in a time that it was not that way, that we didn't have all of the challenges that we have today, younger families today are experiencing a lot of challenges. And that's where this all comes into play: faith and courage and be able to stand. A lot of people feel separated in life. A lot of people feel isolated in life. I read this past week where 6 naval men have committed suicide. So the world that we live in, it's a challenging, incredible world. Paul understood that in his day. Paul knew what it was like to go through incredible times in his life. And he comes to verse 35. He brings this challenge about our faith. He brings this challenge about our courage in life to be able to conquer some of these things. And he says, who shall separate us? I mean, who separates you? Think tonight. Is there anybody out there that can separate you from the love of Christ? When Tricia sang that song a few moments ago, and Tricia, I so appreciate you doing that with the medical issues and the problems that you've had in the past that affected you for a long time to not be able to sing. And to be able to share that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me in the midst of whatever is going on in life, whether it's depression, distress, isolationism, separation. Who shall separate us? Paul is speaking to the Roman church, to the Christians, to those that have this personal relationship. Paul is saying, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And notice he says, shall trouble? Well, I don't know anybody that's not having trouble. I mean, whatever it may be. If you're not having trouble, if you're not in trouble, if you're not in deep waters tonight, at some point in life, you will be dragged into those situations just because life is life. And life is filled with troubles, and life is filled with problems. He said, shall trouble? Shall trouble separate me from the love of God? He said, or hardship? Persecution? Let me tell you, there are more people being persecuted right now for their faith in the past 100 years of world history than all of the 1900 years since Christ. There are more tonight that are being persecuted for their Christian faith. I want you to think about that. That are being persecuted for their faith. Paul said, even in the midst of persecution, can that separate you from God not loving you? He says, or famine. When I think about famine and I think about world hunger, and when I think about the many kids tonight in America, the land of the free, the home of the brave, the most benevolent nation in all the world, a nation that has more money than any nation on the face of the earth, that has been so blessed. God, the Bible says, to whomsoever much is given, much is going to be required. Much is going to be required. Let me tell you, in a benevolent America that you and I live in, let me tell you, there's lots of famine. Not only physical famine that people are dealing with in their life, hunger. When I think about it, as we take food out here to the food bank at the school, as I did the other day, took a carload of snacks from the pastor's Sunday school class that we give every month to a group of kids out here that come to school hungry, to the group that give every month in this church to another school down at Meridian. When I think about kids, when we fed a group the other day from the school, and one of their teachers came up and said, "You have no idea. This will be the best meal some of these kids will have all week long. In fact, it will be one of the few meals that some of them will have." And I loved watching them. I always tell our cooks, cook plenty. The last thing I want people to do is walk away hungry. If we can't do our best to the master, guess what? We shouldn't do it. Amen? Folks, whenever we repair God's kingdom, when we repair his building, if we can't do it to the best, then you know what? We shouldn't do it. I told someone the other day, when David was preparing for his son Solomon to build the temple, it was mightily important. David chose the best. He picked the best of wood. He picked the best of everything. Because how could he give his God less than what he himself lived in? Let me tell you, when we do church repairs, we ought to give our best. We ought to do our best, or we shouldn't do it. Because to me, when we don't, it's a slap in the face of the Almighty. Paul knew what hardships were like. Kids today, tonight, 40 to 50% of kids in the United States will go to bed hungry. Let me tell you, there's physical famine, not only in second and third world countries, but I want you to know there's spiritual famine tonight. Spiritual famine. I want you to think about the spiritual famine tonight. If you're not closer to God today than you've ever been in your life, you're backslidden. Hello, preacher, whether it's you or whether it's somebody sitting in the pew. If we're not closer to him today than we were yesterday, or we'll be tomorrow, we're in a backslidden condition. Why? Because we ought to be growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul said, who? In other words, there was nobody. The Roman government, the times he was in prison, shackled to Roman soldiers, those that were persecuting him for preaching the gospel. Paul said, none of those things can separate me from the love of Christ. You know why? Because Christ's love is unconditional. Christ's love is endless. He loves me. He loves you when you're good. He loves you when you're bad. There is never a day that he will love you more than he did today, or than he did yesterday or tomorrow. His love never changes. Aren't you grateful that while all these things change in life, we serve a changeless and immutable, that means changeless. We serve a changeless God tonight. Paul said, shall trouble separate you from the love of Christ? He said, shall hardship separate you from the love of Christ? Shall being persecuted separate you from the love of Christ? Shall being hungry or famine? With famine comes diseases and pestilences and all of these things that we used to think were eradicated in many of the places in our world, and they're not eradicated, they're coming back, which is all scriptural and biblical. These things are going to come back during the days of the tribulation. When I mentioned Sunday morning, John D. Rockefeller, started Standard Oil Company, and he had a monopoly on it in 1911. He had to divide that up. It had to be divided into 30 different companies. He was a very religious man, but while he was very religious, some people saw him as a man filled with greed. While he was a great philanthropist and gave away $80 million to Chicago University when it was about to go under in those early years. And then when he gave to medical science in order to do away with yellow fever globally in the world and to help with many of to get rid of the hookworms, those were some of the causes. He was a great philanthropist, but depending on the perspective that you looked at his life, some saw him as being greedy, some saw him as being a great philanthropist. But let me tell you, famine is real in the world tonight. Hunger is real in the world tonight. Hunger is real in Duncan, America tonight. If you don't believe that, do my job. Let me rephrase it, do my ministry. It's not a job, it's a ministry. But let me tell you, famine is real. Nakedness. That's not speaking about nudity there. What it's referring to is not having the monies to be able to purchase clothes. And he said, can famine separate you from God's love? Can not being able to purchase clothes separate you from the love of God? He said, Can danger separate you from the love of God? Now, you're going to probably say, well, Pastor, what do you do about all these people that are killed in bombings and these people that are blown up with explosives out there on the battlefield? And what about these gun violence situations that are going on, et cetera, et cetera? What about all those? Well, you know what? Paul said, if I live, I live to the Lord. Paul said, if I die, I die to the Lord. Paul said, so whether I live or whether I die, I'm the Lord's. And I think as he was writing to the Roman church here, once again, he shares danger. You and I live in a dangerous world out there. He said sword. That word sword was not the kind of sword that was used in those days in battle, but it was the short sword, which was used for Paul would be a prime example. They would cut off his head for sharing the gospel. The other night on television, I iterated this to my Sunday school class Sunday morning. When I watched that documentary on the Apostle Paul, I could not help but think, how many of us here tonight have the faith, have the courage, that if we were confronted like Paul was, as he put his head on the guillotine, to have his head decapitated from his body because of his faith, how many of us in here tonight would have the courage, would have the faith to lay our head down without kicking and screaming? Paul said, for me to live, it's Christ. I can continue to go on and do the ministry, but to die is gain. Paul says right there, none of those things can keep me from the love of Christ. Notice in verse 36, he said, as it is written, and he talks about sheep being slaughtered here, for your sake we face death all the day long. Paul had given his life once he met Christ on the Damascus Road. He would never be the same again. His life would totally not be the same again. He would be far more passionate than he was even before he met Christ in consenting to the death of Christians and having them thrown in prison and having them persecuted. He said to the Romans, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Did you realize all of those 12 disciples? Let me call them the apostles. The 12 apostles, did you realize all of them gave their life for the cause of Christ in martyrdom, except John? And John himself was boiled in a pot of oil, but yet he lived. Can you imagine Can you imagine? They so believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing was going to keep them from spreading the gospel. And then notice, if you will, on your outline, take courage from the strength of God's love. God's love is stronger than the pressures you face. The word tribulation there, or trouble up there in verse 35, it's a word that means to be squeezed or to be put under pressure. It's used 37 times in the New Testament. B on Roman numeral number 1, God's love is stronger than any pain that you and I could ever have under distress. It is the trouble of that. C, God's love is stronger than being persecuted. Persecution is used 10 times there in the New Testament. In Matthew 5, 10 through 12, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Probably none of us here tonight will probably ever die a martyr's death for our faith. But I want you to know there are people all over the world tonight who are dying for the faith because they will not renounce their faith. Courage in the midst of trouble. Courage to conquer. Let me tell you, God's love is stronger than privation. D. What is privation? That means famine. Famine, it's used 12 times in the New Testament. It's usually because of persecution, being persecuted. During the days of the tribulation, if you have the mark of the beast, which means you're lost forever, you'll be able to buy and sell. But if you're a Christian and you receive Christ and you don't have that mark, let me tell you, you're not going to be able to buy. You won't be able to sell. Let me tell you, privation, famine, it will be rampant during the days of the tribulation. He goes on, Roman numeral number 1 on your outline. God's love is stronger than peril. Let me tell you, if anybody knew about perils in the wilderness, it was Paul. Let me tell you, if you wanted to find Paul, the best place you could find him, you could find Paul. He was always in jail. Paul was always in jail. He was in jail because he was telling people about Jesus. He didn't let it deter him. He did not let it become a deterrent in his life. He believed what he heard on the Damascus Road, and it changed his life forever. And there was absolutely nothing that was going to separate him from God's love, because God's love is stronger than peril. Remember, Paul said he was in journeys, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Folks, that's a lot of perils. He understood what perils were, but he knew that God's love was stronger than those. G on your outline. God's love is stronger than prison. Let me tell you, Paul knew what prison was like. He had been there many times. And when he wrote this to the Romans, he had already experienced these things in his life. Roman numeral number 2 on your outline in verse 37. Take courage from the success of God's love. In other words, what are we talking about tonight? We're talking about a faith that is courageous even when our faith wanes. Now, if all of us were honest tonight, there are times that God seems really far away. God seems really, really far away. Have you ever been there? Have you been there? And I can't tell you the thousands of times I've walked out of hospitals in Oklahoma City, Wichita Falls, Lawton, Dallas, wherever it may be. And I've said, "God, I know you're there. God, where are you, God? God, if I had the gift of healing, God, if I stood up and preached what I don't believe is Bible about a health, wealth gospel that many people are getting rich off of. I know God wants us to prosper even as our soul prospers, but I also know God has a purpose and God has a plan. But if I had the gift of healing, I said last evening, God, if I had the gift of healing, I'd be in every hospital night and day, that I could walk down the halls and nursing homes and touching people's life. But I realized that that is not your plan. Let me tell you, Paul understood the courage that it took. Notice in verse 37, he says, no. Who can separate us? Nobody. Can any of these things that I've just mentioned separate you from the love of Christ? No, because he loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know. And he loves me as much tonight as he will ever love me in my lifetime. No, Paul said, no in all these things. Perils, hardships, persecution, distresses, trouble, all of these things. Paul says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Notice what he says, through him who loved us. He is the overcomer. I mentioned Sunday morning when Jesus died on the cross, nailed our sins to the cross, and he spoke those words, tetelestai. Some people pronounce it tetelestai. It means it is finished, it's done, the work is finished, I paid the debt. Let me tell you, he was the conqueror, he is the conqueror. Paul said, no, in all these things, we, Christians, we are more than conquerors. How? Through him. Why? Because he is the victorious one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. And notice that phrase, who loved us. Aren't you grateful for his love tonight? Well, take courage from the safety, thirdly, of Christ's love. Look in verse 38 and verse 39. Paul said, for I'm convinced. One translation, King James says, for I'm persuaded. For I am convinced. He wrote in the Greek perfect tense, a past action that has continual results in the present. We could translate that phrase, I have become and I remain convinced. He said, for I am convinced that neither death can't separate me from the love of Christ. For me to live as Christ, to die is what? Gain. He said, neither death nor life. Aren't you grateful tonight you know Jesus? Let me tell you, can you imagine what life would be like to live life without Jesus? And then notice he says, neither angels. I believe this is referring to demonic angels, fallen angels who revolted against God. And a third of the angels fail. It's really interesting. I was listening to a podcast yesterday about right now in America, their UFOlogy, UFOs, hello, aliens, UFOs. UFOlogy, the word O-L-O-G-Y, ology means study of. Did you know that UFOlogy is now becoming one of the fastest growing religions? People believe in God more than they believe in UFOs and aliens and all of that more than they believe in God. Now, I don't know. This is just my theory on this. I believe a lot of that stuff is demonic activity. 95%, scientists tell us, NASA tells us, scientists say 95% of the sightings of what people call UFOs, it's some military object or some space thing, et cetera, et cetera. Only 5% are really unidentified. And must I tell you that according to the Bible, that those fallen angels, which sometime in January I'll start a series on Sunday morning on angels. Did you realize that those fallen angels, according to the Bible, Satan is the prince of the power of the air? Did you realize? I believe that's why today, when 150,000 plus people died today, every age, and God sends his angels to usher them from the first heaven through the second heaven, where all of that demonic forces are that are fighting a spiritual warfare out there you and I cannot see, even though they're fighting around us as well. I believe that's why God sends his angels to usher us through 187 trillion billion plus miles into the third heaven where God resides, as scripture says, out there in the far north. I believe that's the reason the angels come. They usher us through the airspace of the demonic that is out there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear. Why? The Lord is with me. Let me tell you, those today who descended into a place of separation, nobody escorted them. They went on their own. But the saved are escorted safely into the presence of Jesus. Vance Havner used to say, you may be saved, but you're not safe. And I've always added to that, you're not safe till you slide into home plate. You've got to go through the second and the third, the first and the second heavens through demonic activity to get there. And God's angels, according to Hebrews, angels are sent to those who will inherit salvation. And they usher us in. So he says, for I'm convinced, I remain convinced, I remain persuaded that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, Let me tell you, there are the good angels that usher us into the presence, and then there are the bad angels and the demons of hell that are out there destroying life, destroying people's life. Paul said to the Romans, none of that, neither the present, neither today, whatever happens in your life today, nor whatever happens in your life in the future, he said, nor any powers. And then he speaks about the height and the depth. Notice he speaks about the vertical, the height and the depth, nor anything else in all creation, since God is creator over all. I love that old song, all creatures of our God and King. Let me tell you, God is creator over all. He says neither height, anything up high, anything down beneath, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Where is that? In Christ Jesus our Lord. So tonight, aren't you grateful? Aren't you thankful that you've got the peace and the hope and the assurance that whatever we go through in life, we're only here for a little while. And we're studying about a courage to conquer. And tonight's when our faith sometimes wanes. When our faith sometimes gets a little bit shallow and we say, God, where are you? Or God, you've forsaken me. God, you've forgotten me. Someone said to me this past week, in the many situations I've been in this past week with people in all kinds of situations, one of them said, why does God do that? Why has God allowed that? Why am I where I am? Let me tell you, all I know is this. God's too good to be unkind. He's too wise to be mistaken. And I'm smart enough to know he's far too deep that I can't explain him. Because scripture says his ways are beyond our ways. His thoughts are beyond our ways. Let me tell you, when you don't understand, you just have to leave it all to the infinite God, who is the immutable God who never changes, but is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and know that He loves you as much as He loved you from eternity past, before you were ever formed, to eternity present, to eternity future. And there's nothing that can happen in our lives that will ever separate His love from us. Amen? God bless you. Would you stand as we pray together? Father.